I want to welcome everybody to this week's episode of In the Rough with JB and Golfer Gal. I'm your host, JB, and we don't have Golfer Gal with us this week, but we do have a special guest, and that is Nate from Cleveland Golf, because on the THP website and forum over the last 3 weeks, we have an exciting product launch, and that is the Cleveland Black line, and more specifically, the Cleveland Black Metalwoods that we wanted to bring on. Lots of questions, and bring Nate on to discuss those. So, Nate, how are you?
Very good. How are you, JB? Looking forward to talking with everybody.
I'm doing quite well, and part of the reason is that is because I've been working with the Cleveland Black line, and it was a product going in that when we touched on it last time you were on the air, it was not really something that I was overly excited about outside of the look. Then I saw it firsthand, and it looks even better than described, and then I played it, and I came away kind of impressed. Now, can you give kind of a summary of the Black Metalwood line overall before I get into, like, my thoughts?
Yeah, the Black line is very different for us, and it's coming a lot from our parent company in Japan, in the sense that they've been very committed to a slower swing speed player with their Zexio line. It's the number one metalwood line in Japan, and really what they've understood is that independent of all of the tour marketing and the better players that seem so visible within the golf market, that there's a huge number of people that are much slower in terms of their speed that they're able to generate, and they've built an entire line that they don't try to push out on tour, that they really have developed, engineered, and focused very much on that slower swing speed player, the player that's looking to generate speed. And so that thought process has come over here with the Black line, and really it's for the players that are under 100 mile an hour swing speed, and by the percentages, that's actually a very large percentage of the market even over here in the States.
Now, you said for the sub 100, and obviously that's going to change a little bit based on somebody's tempo and how their swing looks and everything. We did a little test recently, because I'm a big numbers guy and I like to see how things work out. So we grabbed our launch monitor and went over to the range and grabbed, four people that aren't affiliated with us, just were out there hitting their own clubs. They had a myriad of different brands that they were using. And that's neither here nor there, though. What we did is we had them hit their driver and hit the Cleveland Black, and we monitored their numbers. And we didn't hit, like, okay, hit this one, then that one, because we didn't want results skewed. We actually wanted honest-to-goodness numbers, so people were alternating every two balls. And what we found is that everybody under 105 miles an hour picked up distance using the Cleveland Black driver. And some was significant. I mean, upwards of almost 20 yards. And the one person that didn't get a distance gain, his swing speed was at 117, and he actually lost the ball a little too high due to some backspin. No accuracy issues, really, to be said, but just a little bit of a ballooning effect. Would that come to be, because my swing speed's over that 100 mark, but I still saw a pretty significant gain, would that come to be more about because my tempo is rather smooth or slow?
Yeah, there's the tempo side is extremely important in terms of the shaft properties, and if we sort of take this club from the grip to the shaft of the head, I can explain to you what we've done that's different that would work, I guess, more in the direction of the under 100 mile an hour player. But the grip is very light. It's a new product from Golf Pride. It's a Tour 25. It's actually a rubber grip, and so it has the traditional feel of rubber, but is much lighter. That does some interesting things for us from a balance standpoint, and also reduces the total weight of the club. The big thing on the shaft is that the shaft is much more flexible, and we do that to store more energy in the shaft for that lower speed player. Now, the other side of that is that if you have a player that's over 100, or even somebody that's under 100 that's a quick tempo guy that loads the shaft very hard at the top of the swing, that you can actually overload the shaft. That will typically result in potentially a decrease in accuracy or an increase in spin rate or too high of a trajectory. Now, the guy that you're talking about there, 117 miles an hour, that's probably what's happening there, is that the shaft's just being overloaded. And you spoke a little bit earlier to me that it worked really well for you, but you're a much smoother tempo guy. So the 100-mile-an-hour rule is maybe not a hard and fast rule, but in general, with the average swing, that's probably about the maximum speed that we're looking to fit the black into. We have so many other products for the stronger players.
Now, one of the questions that I'm going to kind of put you on the spot here is one question that comes up a lot, which is, Cleveland has the FL line and the 270 product. Outside of aesthetics, how much different is the 265 to the 270? Because when I hit it, it has a different sound, a different feel, different flight trajectories, and everything else.
Well, if you're to look at the head, the big thing with the 270 is, though it was ultra light, it was made to be very playable even for the strongest players. And we had a lot of tour players playing a lighter product than they ever had played in 2011. So it was a neutral to fade bias product, a very pear-shaped head. And if you look at this new product in the black, the shape is much more symmetric from the top down at address, and what that does is it moves the weight closer to the heel, making the club that much easier to turn over. We've also engineered the face to be a little bit shallower. In doing that, it changes the proportions of where the sweet spot ends up, and you end up with a slightly higher spinning performance off of the club. And basically what that does is keeps the ball in the air at lower velocities and gets you more distance. The last part of it is that we've taken every little bit of discretionary weight and put it into the high-density weight screw that's in the back of the club. So we're basically generating a club that has a tendency to want to generate loft, which creates launch angle, has a little bit higher spin rate, and also is easier to square up through the ball. And that's the biggest difference between this head design and what you saw in the 270.
So basically, after hearing that, what you're telling me is they're completely different drivers.
They are very different drivers from a head shape standpoint and a performance standpoint. They're for, in a lot of ways, for different people.
Now, with the black line, not just the driver, there's also some fairway woods. I've been playing the 3 and the 5 for the last probably 3 weeks, and those two, I found the Cleveland. Last time we had you on the show, we discussed the FL fairway wood and the 3 wood, and how I thought it was the longest fairway wood I'd ever hit. This one is almost right on par with that distance. Now, it does have a different sound and a different look. Can you kind of walk us through the 3 and 5 wood as well?
Yeah, this club is actually, this is the biggest fairway wood that we've made, and it's basically meant to be a higher trajectory and easier to turn over version of the FL. And obviously, from a shaft standpoint, the shaft is lighter, the shaft is more flexible than what you saw in the FL. So it's very much mirroring the thought process that we talked about in the driver. From a head shape shaft standpoint, it's a higher trajectory ultralight fairway that's made to be easier to turn over relative to its FL cousin.
Now, one question that I should say, another question that comes up is the black line is mean looking, it's good looking, it's getting a lot of positive comments, and you have drivers, you have fairway woods, irons, wedges. There's no hybrids.
Yeah, and that's a question that comes up quite a bit, and it's very calculated in the way that we decided to put together the offering. And what we know from our testing is that, in general, slower swing speed players benefit more from high lofted fairway woods than they do from hybrids or even a long iron. And if you were to just look at a very slow swing speed player versus potentially a PGA Tour player, there's a very, very, very strong chance that they'll hit the fairway wood farther than they hit the hybrid, farther than they hit the 2 iron, for instance, at 19 degrees. If you were to take a stronger player, you might see the exact opposite, independent of the changes in shaft length, and that they'll hit the 2 iron farther than they hit the hybrid, farther than they hit the fairway. And the biggest difference between those clubs is the center of gravity depth from the hosel and their general trajectory. So that stronger player that we talked about earlier at 117 miles an hour is going to balloon a high lofted, 5 wood or 7 wood, and will do a lot better with a hybrid. And the opposite's true, where they'll have trouble getting the ball in the air at a lower speed. So we felt it was most appropriate for this player to put high lofted fairway woods in their hands versus hybrids. And in the case that they did want to build in a hybrid, we have the full mashing line as well to complement.
That's actually quite interesting. With the driver, obviously it's not a release geared towards everybody. What do you recommend to the person who just loves the looks? Should they be focusing more on the FL line?
Well, I think that across the line, in order to make the best product for the player under 100 miles an hour, we had to very much focus on that player. And so there are going to be some people that are left out that are just quite simply too strong for the black line, and that's why we have the TL310 and the SL290 and even the XL270, the FL fairway wood on the fairway side. So that's the downside that I've had to explain to people is, yeah, it looks really cool. It's one of the best looking products that we've made, but you might be too strong for it if you're over 100 miles an hour.
Now, there's a lot of talk about when it comes to a launch like this, what should someone be expecting when they go to try it out? We always hear, I can't play a light club, or it feels too light. Can you talk a little bit about the difference between an actual weight in a club and the swing weight and what people are actually feeling when they swing the club?
Absolutely. We think that people feel the swing weight much more than they feel the total weight. We think that launch monitors see the total weight. And so this product and the way that it's been configured is a lighter swing weight than the other line, than the launcher ultralight line. It is at D2, and it's going to feel lighter to the player. And that is something that we came up with through a lot of testing in that specific player demographic. But in general, in terms of all of our ultralight lines, we have we set our swing weight appropriate to the target user, and it also changes a little bit with the total weight of the club. If you were to look at it, our TL310 is actually at D4, the SL290 at D5, and the XL270 at D6. So we're actually progressively balancing the swing weight heavier as we decrease weight in a lot of cases to make the club feel like the same weight. So really the swing weight is key, and we're trying to make the ultralights feel, from a swing weight standpoint, like a standard weighted club.
So with that being said, while somebody might pick up the driver out of a bin or off a shelf, it may feel ridiculously light, but after a couple of swings, it's going to feel pretty much like a regular driver.
Yeah, it's the old thing. I know every year I go home for Thanksgiving, and if I bring home a driver that Aunt Mary picks up, and this has been going on for 10 years, and goes, boy, it's so light, and so picking it up and holding it without swinging it, they are going to feel light, but it's how we balance it when you're actually talking about the club swinging and swing weight and sort of the dynamic. You can also talk about the club moment of inertia. These are the variables that really define what happens when you're moving that object at 80 to 120 miles an hour.
Now, you've talked about the components that make up the club, from the grip to the shaft to the head and everything else. What makes the driver it's a very unique look to Cleveland. What has gone into designing the club? I don't mean from the going to the black, so to speak, but more from the design of the club head.
Well, one of the things that we're introducing on this club head is the speed crown design. And if you look at it from a dress, you can barely see it, and that's the beauty of it. But from a
side
profile,
a second. I'm actually looking at the club right now as we speak at a dress, and I don't see it.
Yeah, it does a very nice job of hiding what's a pretty powerful technology from a design standpoint. And in a lot of ways, it's lost in the discussion because we're talking so much about the weight and the other elements of the club. But if you look at it, and you're looking at it right now, Josh, there's a teardrop-shaped profile that from the face, it goes to a higher point as it gets to the front of the crown and then drops off very rapidly and actually inverts itself as it gets toward the tail. And that does a few things. From a, it sort of looks like a lot of commonly known aerodynamic shapes, whether it's a bike helmet in the time trials of the Tour de France.
That's exactly what it looks like to me, as one of those aerodynamic bike helmets.
Yeah, it has, or an airplane wing, or even a teardrop. So it's a very aerodynamically functional shape, and though we think that aerodynamics is maybe not quite as large of a factor as the total weight and some of the other things, we'll take every incremental speed improvement that we can get for that user. The other thing that it does is very similar to the high bore. It changes the center of gravity a little bit and also helps us to reduce the club volume. So in creating that shape, we can make a club that plays bigger than it actually measures from a volume standpoint. So there's a lot of cool tricks coming out of that shape, and I think you'll see that as a very cool design feature on Cleveland products to come.
The partnership with Miyazaki is one of the most unique out there. They are an incredibly high-quality shaft maker in Japan. And due to, you know, business relationships not really tied to Cleveland but more in Japan, you guys are able to have a unique partnership to use their drivers or use their shafts in your metalwoods. How has that changed in making this lighter club more effective rather than some of the light technologies we had from 20 years ago?
Well, when we talked earlier about the Zexio brand, really what Miyazaki is a new global brand that really is a mark on something that's been developing for a couple of decades in Japan. And so the factory in Miyazaki, Japan, has been producing the shafts that have gone in without the Miyazaki brand on them for the Zexio product. And if you know anything about Zexio, they're selling these drivers in Japan for between $600, $700, up to $1,200 to $1,300. And much of that is to cover the technology that is created in the shaft. And so with our partnership with SRI Sports, as we're looking at bringing what to some extent is the Zexio product in the black form over here to the States, we're able to have access to that technology package that they've used and developed over an extended period of time in the lightweight shafts. And it's extremely powerful to have that expertise, to know what it takes when you're changing the weight of the shaft by such a significant amount, to have it work for the player that we're after is super, super powerful, and we're very much privileged to be working with them.
The look of the club overall is mean, is the best way I could describe it. When I bring it out to the course, obviously I have it under a different head cover so it doesn't get a lot of looks before pre-release, and now people are seeing it and they're just kind of blown away by the actual aesthetics of the club. What goes into the thought process when you're designing these clubs to keep them aesthetically pleasing?
Well, this one's interesting because on the surface you think, oh, okay, it's for a lower swing speed player, maybe it's for potentially an older demographic, but when I've looked at it with our designers, what we talked about is that even if it's an older player, there's nothing that people love more than a really mean looking black sports car. You know, the black Mercedes coupe comes to mind, the SLR or something. And so when we started into the design process here, the main thing was to generate from a performance standpoint, but also an aesthetics standpoint, a feeling of speed. And so I think that our designers did a heck of a job here in terms of making one of the meanest looking golf clubs that we've put together. And really the thought process has been very much stealth and speed driven.
Well, I think that about sums it up. Is there anything else you want to add that I haven't asked? Because I've asked a whole lot here.
I think that the biggest thing, and you know this firsthand, get out to a launch monitor. If you're not doing it, or if you haven't been out, make sure you're always fit and test the product. Get on the monitor and see what it can do for you. That's the best way to separate the best product for you from the other things that are on the rack. And there's just no excuse not to find one. They're everywhere now. And you couldn't have said that 5 years ago, but the consumer really has access to some unbelievable fitting tools and should absolutely take advantage.
I know that, not to get sidetracked, that Cleveland at Demo Days now has launch monitors there at all of them, I believe.
Yeah, we've invested pretty heavily with the foresight in that every one of our territory managers and their techs have launch monitors available. And beyond that, many of our retail partners have excellent launch monitors that can really tell you whether you're gaining speed and help you to dial in your spin rate, find the right launch angle, and make sure that, you know, that you're in the right loft, that you're in the right shaft. It can be the difference between spending $300 or $400 on something that, you know, has that 2-day honeymoon period and finding a driver that's really going to help your game. So it's an absolute must when you're making the investment. And as R&D guys, we would absolutely tell you to go through the process.
I love that 2-day honeymoon period, though. There's nothing like it.
Yeah, you know, and if you had an unlimited budget, then you could just chase the 2-day honeymoon period for a long time. Players sure do it, but
yeah, they sure do.
But for the rest of us, we've got to find stuff that works, and that's whether we're R&D professionals or fitting professionals. That's our job, is to make sure you get in the right product.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on and talking about a product that is on everybody's mind. With the Morgan Cup coming up in 2012, people are talking about this club, as well as, you know, the entire Cleveland line, and getting to the bottom of who this club is for and who it will assist out there, because it's working for the people, for most of the people that we've had test it, but, you know, again, it's not for everybody. So I wanted to get to the bottom line of who it's for and how it's made, and I want to thank you for coming online, and, you know, with every release, we want to have you back and talking about the new products.
I appreciate it anytime, and for everybody out there, for the readers, just let us know if you have questions, and we'll be more than happy to answer them. But should see the black in the stores in mid-November. Get out there and give it a try. Also, the irons, the fairway woods as well.
Well, for myself and Nate, that is another show wrapped up. Keep hitting the fairways, and we will be back with you soon. Goodbye, everybody.